following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning and this family day long weekend. It is good to be back. It's good to be feeling quite a bit better. I returned last Friday from Louisville, where I had spent a week at the Midwinter Conference. And unfortunately, I came back quite sick, which you probably all heard about. It was maybe the most harrowing plane ride that I have ever been on. It is not fun to fly sick. But I had a wonderful posy and an even better wife who took care of me all week and feeling much, much better. Yeah, Erica deserves a round of applause. She took very good care of me. Midwinter, as always, was a really refreshing time for me, despite the Friday morning sickness. It was refreshing relationally, for sure, and it was also refreshing intellectually, because I got to hear speakers present ideas or unpack scripture and then get the chance to gather with colleagues and discuss those things. And I just love those times. And I usually come away with one or two or three key things that will make their way into sermons or casual conversations or council meetings throughout the year. And hopefully we'll continue to enhance the work that our church is doing as we seek God's plan for us together. Though I know that Rich did a fantastic job, because he always does, I really missed being able to preach last week. We had some great scripture passages set before us last week that continued our series on living as Christmas people in a really great way. We had, to that point, journeyed through being people of praise, being a chosen people in Jesus Christ, being a listening people, and then we left a couple weeks ago with being a called people. And our call as believers in Jesus Christ is first and foremost to follow him. And this past week, our scripture passages pointed out that some of the key places that Jesus asks us to follow is into the areas of mercy and justice, recognizing and caring for the least of these, both in everyday life as well as through systematic change. The call to follow Jesus is about the smallest and seemingly most mundane parts of our life where we can be faithful, as well as those huge opportunities we see to help correct a system of oppression and speak against injustices that we see in the world. This morning, with kind of that in mind, we're going to continue on in our Living as Christmas People series. Last weekend, before Rich had volunteered to speak, I was looking up a video to share and came across one by a covenant pastor in Madison, Wisconsin, named Alex G. And he preached at an annual meeting in Detroit. That's what we call AGM in the U.S., in case you were confused by that. It's annual meeting there, AGM in Canada. In Detroit, a couple years back, and he preached on one of the texts that would have been our text for last week, Micah 6. And he shared in his sermon a story. He said a friend of Pastor Alex's, was listening to a therapist who was giving a talk on cultural competence as therapists. And as therapists, you might be working with someone whose experience is so far from your own. Our tendency in that moment, when we come across someone whose experience is so far from our own, is to cross our arms and lean back away from that which is completely different from us, to protect ourselves. This therapist, as they were speaking, said that the need is really to scoot your chair closer. To scoot your chair closer into that relationship. Scoot your chair closer into hearing someone else's story. And Jesus offers us that perfect example of scooting his chair closer by coming to earth as flesh and blood. Jesus scoots his chair about as close as he possibly can. And that's what we are asked to do in following him. And Pastor Alex unpacked this idea in terms of compassion, mercy, and justice. And I believe it also really helpfully informs this morning's important aspect of living as Christmas people, which is being a sharing people. A huge part of scooting our chair closer is listening, but an equal part is our own sharing. Sharing where it is that we see God at work in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to spend some time sharing. I know everyone is collectively moving to the edges of your seat as you prepare to hop up and come to the microphone. But give me just a couple minutes here. First, we're going to look at the words of 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 13. And we're going to hear the importance of sharing who God is and how we will see God at work. But first, before we get into Scripture, let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you praise, and we give you thanks for choosing us in your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for speaking to us and for calling us. This morning, God, we recognize the need to share stories of how you are at work in our lives. Give courage where it is needed, that we might all hear of and experience your glory. We pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 13. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you. I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. I really love this passage. And frankly, as a pastor, it's because it gives me a lot of freedom and it humbles me. It's not my wisdom that you are going to learn anything from. It is God's Spirit that you will learn from. It is encouraging and it helps me remember that it is not my learning. It's not my degrees, it's not my wisdom that speak to people. It is God who speaks, it is the Holy Spirit who speaks. And we must then simply be faithful to what God is calling us to and be faithful to how God is calling us to share. And in that, and as one more opportunity for you to collect your thoughts or to be encouraged by the Spirit, let me share a couple of stories with you of how I have seen God at work recently. The first was at midwinter. Midwinter is often a time where pastors get a chance to both brag about their congregations and how things are going, and also lament things that may not be going as well as they would hope. And one particular pastor friend of mine has been going through a really, really rough time. And I heard her story a few times and realized, and frankly, she told me, that I wasn't particularly helpful to her because my stories were very foreign to hers at this point in time. She could not connect with the way that I have been experiencing Emmanuel. That means that my experience at Emmanuel has been really great. Just in case you missed that. But she said that it was hard for her to hear that from me because she wasn't experiencing the same at her church. We were sitting down and talking about this, and someone that I had met just that week and ended up sharing a few meals with, he was invited into this conversation. He had never met this other friend before. But he began to share his stories. And he'd been in ministry for a long time at a couple of different churches. And he had some really, really rough stories. A couple of, frankly, just heartbreaking stories. And those stories connected. She needed to hear stories that connected. Stories of how God was faithful even through these really difficult times for this particular guy. I'd be lying if I said that I remember physically sitting next to her, racking my brain, thinking, what words of wisdom can I offer Kathy in this moment? And there was nothing. But this other pastor came and shared his story. He shared how God had worked in his life, how he had seen God at work, and it was everything that she needed in that moment. In case Erica asked me a good question as we were talking about this, that isn't the only opportunity that I have had to share my stories of Emmanuel. And there were other times where those stories did connect, where my experience was super helpful for other people because they needed to hear about a church that was experiencing God in the exciting ways that I see Emmanuel experiencing God. But stories meant a lot in this moment. And the second thing that I want to share is a card that I received in the mail on Monday. And I'm just going to read it to everyone. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to thank you for your lovely welcome a couple weeks ago when Helene and I were stranded/trapped in Canada. Lorna was gracious in greeting us and generous in her offer for a place to stay. Others offered clothes, suggestions, and listened to our tale. As it turned out, Helene was not allowed to re-enter the U.S. She flew back to Spain, Basque country, from Canada. Prior to leaving for home, Basque remains an unchurched area, she committed her life to Jesus and accepted him as her Lord and Savior. Your welcome and hospitality was something she had not experienced from complete strangers. I would ask you to pray alongside of me for her protection and growth. It will be a challenge for her to find a church family. If any of you find yourself in Washington, Kitsap County, please visit the Refuge Church. We will embrace you in Christ. Melissa. I don't know about you, but that's about the best piece of mail I think I could have ever hoped for. There wasn't great wisdom that was shared with Melissa and Helene. There was story of God's faithfulness. There was the exhibition of God's love through conversation. God is faithful. Boy, can we learn a lot from one another in sharing story. So, with those couple of jumping firsts, is there anyone who is willing to come up and share? Not come up. Okay, is there... Yes, perfect.
Is it on? Okay, I had not come here today to prepare to share, but the Lord has led us this way. And so I'm going to go back to what you first said about instead of backing off, going forward. I've told a number of people this, but I hadn't really ever planned to go back into teaching. But God had other plans for me. But the plans were not for me to get so much back into being a teacher as they were to teach me a life lesson. And my life lesson was move forward and learn from other people what that their lives are not anything like my life, my sheltered, basically happy, predictable life. I got back into teaching ESL kids. I met kids who were parachuted into Canada with people they didn't even know who, and they were in culture shock. They had no idea what was going on. Their backgrounds were so different. But God put me there to learn how to love people that were different than me, and not only love them, which is, of course, the most important, but to see them as coming from a totally different perspective than I come from and came from. And that's been a life lesson for me that I will never, ever forget, because I look at people totally differently now. And the love that I can give them is God's love, but with a little bit of knowledge. And it's just such an important lesson that I can never forget and never not want to pass on to everybody else. Look at them from their perspective. It's totally different what they see, how they see the world.
My story is about this week, the joy and the sadness. First, I tell about sadness, about all know about Les Dion, and that he had leukemia, serious. And this week, Monday started with his chemo, and the first day was very terrible. And the second day he had new blood transfusions. He had it twice this week. And Hank and I had him on the phone, and I was already excited because we didn't see him since Christmas. And yesterday they came to visit us. And that's the joy, because he sat there with Wilma, a daughter, and then my grandson came with his wife and his little great-granddaughter, plus my daughter-in-law came with her husband and a little one. So it was a wild, kind of a wild thing, but I felt so joyful that the Holy Spirit comes on us and that something so wonderful came out, sadness. And that he's trying and do his best, and that it is all in the Lord's hand. And I feel, Hank and I feel blessed by, it was a busy afternoon with all the little ones running around, but it was for me and Hank, and we were young again. We felt young again with all of them. So it's God's goodness and mercies that I say, all it's all about the Lord God. He is good all the time. So, thank you.
I hope I'm gonna do it right, and I want to share with you something very nice. One morning, I came down for breakfast. So, my daughter Gabi, she said to me, I was still half dopey from my sleep, but she said, you know, Mom, we're going on a trip. I said, we're going on a trip. We just went on a little trip. So I thought, how can I go on a trip again? So she said to me, you know, Mom, your greatest wish was always to go one time back to your country where I came from, to visit still the people, to visit the places where you get married, and we're going to a cruise. I said, a cruise? She said, yeah, I and John and I were going to Germany first, and there we're going to stop, that you can see the family, and that you still can go to the places what you always wished for. So she said, and then we're going on the cruise all together. I was thinking, and I said, okay, yes, I can do it. But, well, you know, with the money and that, I was thinking, and Gabi said, maybe we can find a person who would like to go with you and share the room. I thought first, yeah, that would be good. But then I was thinking I would like better to stay with my people longer and enjoy that place and go to places. So we didn't find anybody, and so I decided to go to Germany with Gabi because and her husband, and I never could travel anymore because of my age and of the new system they had in the airport. I know I speak the language, but I'm not very good in other stuff. So I decided to stay in Germany only, and Gabi and John gonna visit with me, and then they're gonna go farther to their cruise. And I was thinking that was my biggest wish, and I gave it up. I never thought of it again because I thought I were too old. So Gabi said to me, Mom, you know who gave you that wish come true? And I thought, and I said, yes, that was Jesus and our Lord in heaven who granted me that one wish, one time still to go and to see my people, my country. So I wanted just to share you the good news and to believe in the Lord.
Hi there. I'm going to go on the scoot your chair forward theme that you mentioned. And I just feel so blessed that our church made the decision to support a refugee family. And I never dreamt in a million years that I would be so comfortable with them that I would feel like they were my family. And it has been such a joy. Their faith, their life is different, totally different. Their language is different. But what an opportunity I know everyone on the committee has had, and hopefully others within our church will have the opportunity to get to know them a little bit and scoot our chairs forward and listen to them and learn from their ways. And it has just been such a heartwarming, encouraging experience to get to know them. Never would have thought that I could feel like they were my family, and I never dreamt that. So I'm very thankful.
This morning I wanted to just share. I'd forgotten that we were doing this, but it's been 4 years today that Dan collapsed, and with, as many of you have said, it wasn't his time, but really God was with him all the way, and he came back. And we were talking about it the other day, and I said, God had a plan for you, and your work here wasn't finished. And that plan is to be grandpa to the ones in Denver, but especially those four little ones that live in this area. I've shared with my Bible study ladies about Dante and Enzo, the 4-year-old, that their parents do not take them to church. Although my daughter accepted Christ as a teenager, they're more humanist than they are Christians. So they have not had any teaching. And at their school, they do not do Christmas. They don't do any of the Christian holidays. They had a man in there talking about that God is dead and there is no such thing. And so poor little Dante, the 7-year-old, he just, you know, he told me, he says, Grandma, and he said, I don't like going to church, and God is dead. But we spent some time with them in Vernon Labor Day weekend, and he said, Grandma and Grandpa, why do you guys pray? Like we always say grace at our meals. And so we told him. And then at Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, I had them all over. And he said, "Can I pray?" So he said grace. And so he seems, I think the Lord is calling him especially because he has such a thirst for knowledge. And now we had JJ and Maxie over for the night, and as I'm driving to church, JJ says, he says, "You know, I mentioned this little boy's name." He says that Jesus is dead. I said, "Oh, JJ." And so I went on to explain that people believe differently. I said, "But Grandma believes that Jesus is alive. And my prayer is that you will too, that you know that he's alive." So I just wanted to share that, you know, that God had a plan for our lives and in the lives of our grandchildren. Dan's the only grandpa that JJ and Maxie have, and he's not here today. He needed a day of reflection, I guess, and he sent us off with his blessings as we got ready for church. So just think of us and pray for the little boys in our lives. And I'm just so happy that God led us to this church and that we could have fellowship and believe in the one true God.
Thanks, sir. Well, looking at living as Christmas people, I just really believe that it's not for me living as a Christmas person, but living with Christmas people that has really helped to grow me spiritually over the years that I've been here at Emmanuel, and embolden me as well through learning how to be bold in my prayers, whether it be on a cruise ship with people that I have no idea are Christians, but not really caring because that's what God wants me to do. Whether it's learning how to be bold in prayer through Caleb coming to a men's Bible study, or Hank at the other end of the spectrum teaching me the longevity and prayer and faith. So I guess for me, it's the relationship that I've had with my family here that has helped me to move into that living as a Christmas person and not being bashful about it. But the other piece to that is the sweet fellowship that I have come to truly appreciate here and desire to live more fully in my relationship with you guys as my brothers and sisters in Christ and my Heavenly Father than even those outside that I could call family but don't know him.
In a way, for my wife and I, it's a special day today. As I think it was December 6, 2015, I came to Emmanuel because it was close. I'm not going to go into the rest of the story. And my wife was soon embraced by the ladies' Bible study on Wednesday morning. And I took, I won't call it abuse, but a little egging on from my wife to get off the fence. Made numerous visits to Eric in his office here. I was always welcomed there with a door that opened very quickly. Had some rather profound questions and comments. And gradually, I always felt welcome here. I said why I came here. I came back because I did feel spiritually touched. And God controls our life from beginning to end. I was reminded of that again on Friday when I played hooky from men's Bible study. I had a niece visiting from Regina. I hadn't seen her for 3.5 years. And prior to that, when we went through Regina, which we did a few times, we always had the opportunity to stay overnight and visit. On this trip, we just couldn't coordinate, and we were coming through midday. And here I stopped at a traffic light in Regina, looked into the next lane, and there was my niece sitting in the car. We stopped at Tim Hortons and had a coffee. We could not plan a meeting. God could. He controls everything. This young lady was so special to me from when she was born. When she was born, I became an uncle. And now at 38, 39 years old, I think she's 38 now. She has, well, anyways. Yes, and I'm 35. Okay. I'm 35. Okay, anyway. She is out here for a visit. Her grandma passed away. She was 97. I mean, we know that she was a lady of faith. But she has three adopted children. Twins, 2.5, and one will become 4 on February 21st. We had them over for dinner. With all the extended family out here, what a blessing that God took care that I fit her schedule. And as Christmas people, I read the children the Christmas story out of the children's Bible. And it's just how God has controlled our lives. And, you know, we're never in control of it ourselves and how we've grown here, how we've been welcomed. I don't give credit to the Emmanuel family. I give credit to the Lord Jesus through the work of his Spirit that Emmanuel could become such a part of our lives.
Thank you to all who shared during this time. And as I think I say every time that we do this, don't let this be the only time that these stories are shared. Don't let the times where we make, you know, a little extra space for it in worship be the only time that you're talking with one another and with everyone, about where you see God at work. Don't let that stop here. Being Christmas people means being a sharing people. Let me pray. Holy and precious God, we celebrate this morning stories of how you are at work in our lives and in the world. Help us to be ever aware of these moments. Help us to share these moments freely, knowing by faithfully sharing who we are and how we know you, that we invite others into your presence. Give us courage, Lord God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.